Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Well, hello, Mr. D. Nice.
How you doing?
How's your Sunday going?
Oh, so far so good. You know, every week I'm out there doing something in the field, either covering somebody's event or helping somebody get something together for the next week. And it's just been really crazy going into these elections and going into the start of the new year. So for once, I get to sit back for at least 30 seconds. So that's a pleasure. So how was your weekend?
It was great. It was really great. I got to hang out with my granddaughter for a little bit this weekend. It was her first homecoming. I don't know if you can remember back that far.
But how was it? How did it go for her? That's my girl.
It was good. They had. Hey. Yeah, it was.
Shout out to Jazz. How you doing, Jasmine? Yeah, she's in high school now? Going into college?
She's doing college halfway. She's doing college and high school at the same time. Yeah.
Wow, that's remarkable to have a young lady like that on point, especially now that we're getting ready to go into a circumvented space now where there's going to be a lot more light shown upon women, women in leadership, women in top positions. So these young girls really got to really start getting serious about their education, because they can do anything now. If they can become candidates for president of the United States, and what can you not tell your daughters they can do? So that's a good thing. So congratulations. Head ups out to Jasmine. And, say, keep doing it, girl. You're doing the thing. So she went to her first prom. I know she was excited about it. That brought in probably the hair, makeup, nails, and everything else that comes with that, huh?
Yes, it did. In fact, I'd like to give a shout out to the hair salon she went to. It was Hair of Color in Lakewood. She was giving out some specials for the class of 2016 for senior portraits and various other styles. She's giving $10 off any hairstyle. If you need to get your hair done, she does an excellent job. She's at 20314 Norwalk Boulevard, Suite Number C in Lakewood, California. You can schedule an appointment with Pat. Her number is 562-822-2547. That's Hair of Color in Lakewood Salon.
Hey, get that number one more time real slow just in case, because I know some people out there now listening and saying, oh, okay. All right. So go ahead and give it again, please.
That phone number is 562-822-2547. Get your hair done. She does shampoo, press, and curls. She does weaves. She does all the things that young ladies like to have done to their hair. She even does braids if you want your hair braided. And she's giving $10 off additional services. If you go on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, she'll hook you up.
Oh, so she got the hookup. I like that. So I appreciate you, Pat, for doing what you do. And we'll continue to put your name out there so that you can keep helping our ladies be the young ladies of the future. So our women of promise will turn into the women of prominence. So we've got some great stuff today. This is what we do each and every week, right? We got some good stuff online for today?
We sure do. We got everybody on the line.
Uh-oh, look out
in fact,
now.
In fact, I see Dietra's on the line right now. I want to say, hey, Dietra, how you doing today?
But you know
Hi,
what?
Hi, how are you doing?
Before we get into something, I met this lady a couple of months ago. Kenneth Wales usually has, and Kenneth is in charge of the Southern California Radio Announcers Guild. So all of the radio announcers out there that are in lieu of Southern California, and now statewide, that I think he's got the statewide position now, they all report to Kenneth. And if he finds something that he likes, he puts it on the mainstream to get it played, and we talk about it. We discuss different ways on how to bring the gospel community's music into the same pace as R&B, hip-hop, rock, and the other genres. So it's a great thing to be able to meet with different people out there in the arena. And I met this young lady a couple of months ago, and she is in charge of this event that is just off the charts. I'm telling you, not it's beyond off the chains, it's off the charts. And she puts together a gospel music workshop, and it is, I usually define it as the A to Z of choir practice, because what they do at the workshop, which is the gospel workshop of the choirs and praise and worship, which is a whole genre in itself. And I wasn't even aware of some of the different genres of, you know, the gospel music. But I went down and helped her out. She asked me, can I come videotape some of the sessions? And I went down to help her out. And I'm telling you, there were people that were there during the first rehearsal that I don't think they could carry a note in a bucket if you sat there and gave them a wagon to carry it in. And within 4 days of the conference, when they had the main event on the fourth day of the conference, you had these same people singing in the choir, and the sound was so mixed that you would think that they had been in the choir for a lot. It was just a beautiful thing to behold. And we've got Deidre online. She could talk a little bit about that, because it was a great, and I met her from there, and it's just been a wonderful, you know, godsend of somebody that God has worked, young lady God is working with. Her and her husband have a church. Her husband's a pastor of a church in Los Angeles, Seventh-day Adventist Church on Washington, right off of Crenshaw. And it's like, wow, it's beautiful to still find people that are in there that are talking about it and walking like they believe in what they talk about. So it's been a blessing, the 2 months that I've known First Lady Deidre, and we call her First Lady D. And so I'm going to give a shout out too, before it's over with Lady D. Dorian, who's a part of our team too. She's been in the hospital, just went through surgery, and that girl there is a Trojan workhorse. And I said, Lord, you know, we love her, but sometimes he slows people down. But I said, well, you know, there must be something to your plan to slow her down like this. But she's getting some rest, and hopefully she'll be on the line with us later. I know she's got our guest for us today, but that's just a shout out to the few people that have helped to make Gospel Jazz Connection where it is today. And right now, let's let First Lady Deidre talk about some of the things she's doing. Deidre, you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm online. Yeah. As you said, we just had a wonderful conference, the West Coast Music and Worship Conference. It was a phenomenal time. People, we say ages 8 to 80 from all walks of life, from various gifts, coming together for those 4 days to make it happen at the end of the fourth day for a phenomenal concert. So we're already planning for next year. It's September 27th to the 30th.
Right.
We'll keep you posted on that. And also, I have online, as you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I have online a young lady who is a breast cancer survivor and also volunteered for the American Cancer Society. Tracy Kimbrough is her name.
Tracy, it's good that they take a month. Now, it takes so long for people to realize things, but it's good that they take a month to just sit back there and shed a light on cancer's awareness, because I'm telling you, that is such a phenomenon when it comes down to taking beautiful people that we love and know away from us too soon. And I'm glad there's such an organization that's shedding the light and saying, look, we can try to find a way to stop it, cure it, or, you know what I'm saying, or get it under control, because that's running wild, the people I've seen over the last year that has died of cancer. And I really appreciate you taking the time to stop and make people somewhat more aware of the cancer dilemma that we have going on. So, Tracy, thanks for taking your time off on this beautiful Sunday and joining us here on Gospel Jazz Connection. And like I tell people, we don't do interviews here. We talk about the journey. And I'm sure there's a journey that you have. So, ladies and gentlemen from around the world, coast to coast, let's take this time and welcome to the microphone, Tracy Kimmel. Tracy, thank you for coming on, and let's get started. Give us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and some of the things that got your attention turned towards the cancer awareness volunteering you're doing now, please.
Oh, my pleasure. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of your show today. I appreciate that. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm calling from the Santa Clarita Valley in California, and surrounded by gorgeous mountains sometimes isn't the best for reception, but it is gorgeous out here. It's a beautiful day. God has blessed me to see another day, and I thank him for that. Cancer is an interesting... Thank you. Cancer is an interesting journey. It's it always catches you off guard, and something you said in the introduction really resonated, and that is that we've lost so many people. Almost everyone seems to know someone who has been affected by some type of cancer. And as a woman, breast cancer has always been in the forefront of my mind. And in my family, breast cancer runs in our family. So that's something we have always been aware of, but in a kind of distant way. It's like, okay, well, great aunt this or great aunt that had it. Came home for me when my sister, who's 2 years younger than me, was diagnosed. And that made it all too real, because at that moment, I faced the idea that I could live in a world that didn't have my sister in it. And I had never before that contemplated such a thing. And I began to realize just what a demon breast cancer can be and how it can really change everything you thought you knew about yourself and your family. I'm happy to say my sister is a survivor, but 5 years after she was diagnosed, breast cancer reared its ugly head again, and I was diagnosed. And at that point, you know, once I got over the shock and the fear, I got angry, because I knew I have a daughter, and I knew that there was a chance that her risk just became critical, and there was a good chance that she may have to face a cancer diagnosis in her life. And that was simply unacceptable to me, just unacceptable. And I started looking for ways to fight, and my nurse actually introduced me to the American Cancer Society and suggested that I become a volunteer. And I went over to my local ACS office, and I just walked in and said, so what do I do if I want to volunteer? And I was welcomed by Dorothy Means, who is the most amazing woman I have ever met. I love her to death. And she said, well, come on in. We've got work for you to do. And before I knew it, I was being trained on how to talk to other newly diagnosed patients about their cancer journey. And I find that work so rewarding. As you can hear, I'm a survivor. I've made it through my cancer journey. I've been cancer-free now for 9 years. But it never really stopped, because it's always in the back of your mind that it could come back or whatever. And so I continue to fight. This past Saturday, I took part in a breast cancer walk in downtown Los Angeles, the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer walk. And I had a great time. The Strides event is like my favorite. It's Christmas for me in October. It's my favorite time of the year, because it's a time where you see so many people that are on one accord gather together to fight a common enemy, and it just touches your heart in so many ways. So I really enjoy that. I also know that helping other people put your own problems in perspective, at least it does for me. So it doesn't matter how scary my cancer journey was, reaching out and helping others put it all in perspective. And so I was able to face it. And, you know, my mother is a great, great woman of faith, and I was always brought up to believe that God never gives you more than you can handle. And, you know, once I stopped praying for him to take the cancer away, I started praying for him to show me the lesson that he wanted me to learn within that journey. And that helped me get through it. And what I learned is that I have a passion for helping others, especially when they're facing some of the darkest days that they can imagine. And that's really what I do. And my life after cancer is so much better than the life I had before. It's richer. It's more fulfilling. And I'm not a survivor. I'm a thriver. I don't just survive. I'm not trying to barely make it through. I serve an abundant God, so I'm thriving. And That's pretty much my story in a nutshell.
Well, I can understand and I appreciate it. But see, here's what would be mind-boggling to a few people that just don't know about this journey, is that usually when somebody gets, now this is like in past time before they started getting more educationalized by what cancer does not only to the individual but to family and friends, then the person that got that, it was looked at like a death sentence. And so they became so indebted with their own trauma that they kind of had their little pity parties or whatever way they had to get lost to kind of, you know, get mulled over the head or whatever. But you stepped outside of that enough to want to volunteer with an organization that not only helps and gives educational advice, but also to give a mentorship toward a program. That's what I could see that the American Cancer Society is doing. So you stepped outside of your own self and gave of yourself to help others. And that's, I think that's quite remarkable, because you had to just got to be a God that is so strong on your life and has such a call in your life that you were able to believe through faith that he could supersede your pity party and help you to look to helping somebody else who may be going that direction and needing that word. So, I mean, that's wow. That's courage, and I commend you for it. Truly, I do.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. But I have to say, I have to clarify a misconception. I wasn't that brave. I wasn't that brave. I would have liked to have been. But, you know, I come from a family of incredibly strong women. And failure is simply not an option. And I had such a wonderful example of watching my sister go through her cancer journey with amazing strength that, by the time it was my turn, I felt like I would be letting the family down if I pitied out and was, you know, oh, poor pitiful me. Because honestly, when something like that hits you, I didn't have time to say, oh, why me, why me? It was more like, why not me? If not me, then who? Who would I give this to? No one, absolutely no one. And I remember one day, you know, speaking with someone saying, I don't know why this is happening. And I was told, because God knew you could handle it. And I said, oh, well, okay. And wow. You know, you play the hand you're dealt, and that's really it. And once I stopped the pity party that you mentioned, because, you know, we're all human and the flesh is weak, and yes, there's a moment of that. But once I put that to the side, I started to remember some very important things. One is, the enemy can only attack me up to a certain point. I'm a child of the king. I started to remember my lineage. I'm a child of the king. The enemy can only be allowed to do certain things to me. You know, and he has to ask permission from my heavenly father. Can he attack me? He can't just come at me. So I was like, okay, so there is a blessing in this somewhere. I don't know where it is right now, but I know there's a blessing in it. And if God brought me to it, he's going to bring me through it. And as long as I could hold on to that and my family down here, my sister, my mother, and my friends all stepped up, and as long as I could hold on to that, there was always light at the end of the tunnel. And the reason I stepped up to volunteer was because I thought, what would someone do if they didn't have the kind of support system that I had? What if they didn't have the faith that I have? What if they didn't have the strong family ties? Who would they turn to? What would they do? And I just thought, no one should have to go through this alone. And that, you know, that helped me, you know, help me help you. Well, me speaking to newly diagnosed patients, that helped me far more than I think they realize. That helped me so much more than maybe the help and comfort I gave them. And if I was able to give them some of that, well then, praise God, my job down here is, I'm doing the job that I was sent to do, let's say that.
Right. Now, for those that are listening right now that are really just connected with what you're saying and really just said, okay, this is something that I want to do before, you know, it reaches me, or before, you know what I'm saying, find somebody else that's going through this trauma, how can they get involved with the American Cancer Society?
Well, the first thing I would say is, if you receive a cancer diagnosis, it can be, as you can imagine, it would be completely overwhelming, and you want information. And not only do you want information, but you have to be particular about the information you go to. The last thing you really want to do is just Google cancer and read, you'll scare yourself to death. So you want to go to a place where the information you receive is reliable. And for me, there's a lot of organizations out there that are amazing and that are doing great things in breast cancer research. But for me, I chose to align myself with the American Cancer Society. So I would say give the American Cancer Society a call. They have a telephone hotline that is manned by live people 24/7. So you can call. The number is 1-800-ACS-1234. That's 1-800-ACS-1234. And you can call the American Cancer Society, like I said, 24/7, and speak to a live person. And they will guide you. There's publications that they can send you. There's programs that they can recommend for you. And by the way, every program that the American Cancer Society provides to the community is completely free. So you don't have to worry about, can I afford it? Does my insurance cover it? It is completely free. And you can just reach out. And if you want to volunteer, definitely give them a call. Or you can go to the website, which is cancer.org, and you can just click on the link that says you want to volunteer, fill out the form, and someone will get in touch with you. There's always work for willing hands. I know we have a particular need for road to recovery drivers. One of the services that the American Cancer Society provides is rides for cancer patients to and from treatment. As you can imagine, if you are taking chemotherapy and you are sick and there's certain debilitating effects of chemo, trying to drive may be a challenge. So we provide rides for those patients to and from their cancer treatment. So you can just focus on your treatment and fighting this demon and getting better and not have to worry about driving yourself back and forth. And there is a great need for road to recovery drivers. So that's something. I can't sign off without saying I'm a huge, huge, huge supporter and proponent of early diagnosis. Early diagnosis saves lives. So women, do your self-checks every month. If you are 40 and over, if you have a family history, you want to get your mammograms every year. If you have no family history of cancer, you can get your mammograms every 2 years. But be sure to check yourself. Check yourself, check yourself. Cancer caught early is in its most curable state. So my tumor was found very early. So I'm pretty much cured, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I have to put that out there. And even if you think, oh, there's no cancer in my family, if you are a female and you have breasts, you can get breast cancer. That's something you have to know. So take the precautions.
Wow. Well, we thank you for just taking the time and just enlightening us, because, wow, that's very good to know these things. And it's really a good thing that you set up the time to just let us know not only your journey, but also what they can do when they get confronted with it, or how to, even down to let them know, early detection is a must. So I appreciate you taking the time today. And as you go along your journey, feel free to get back with us and let us, continue to be a part of your journey, because I know the guy's always a part of your journey, and he knows all things. So I appreciate you taking the time, and thank you very much for sharing with us all this stuff on this Cancer Awareness Month. And God bless you, and, say continued success in that, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much. You guys be blessed as well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being there. Now, I was listening to a song, and it's always good to just kind of like find some good music sometimes when this world is going crazy and you need something to really smooth you out. That's why I go with jazz. I mean, you don't go to concerts and find people wanting to burn up and shoot up places when you got that smooth jazz in your system. So that's what I do. Everybody finds a way of escape. That's mine. Now, gospel jazz, when I discovered it a few years ago when we were doing the Urban Network dinners, and Urban Network was a place to where everybody had, once a year, they came to one place where they had a full-week conference, and you got to hear different groups from all secular, gospel, jazz, hip-hop, R&B, all that. But the first day, Thursday, was gospel day. And so we had the chance for my company to help to sponsor the gospel dinner. And one year I got connected with Ron Brown, who Dorian Edwards, Lady D, had familiarized me. And the young lady I knew, Makita, she was working with him. So, you know, we were able to bring them down. And Malcolm Jamal Warner had his group, Miles Long, at the time. And I think Rashawn Patterson. So we got these people to buy in with us and appear on stage for us on our behalf. And when Ron Brown and Jazz and the Spirit got up and they started playing the jazz, but the gospel flavor with it, and it was like my eyes opened up. I said, this thing called gospel jazz, I can get into that. And ever since then, that's been several years ago, I have just been infatuated by gospel jazz. So that's why we do that each and every week. And Lady D's still been with us, Dorian's still been with us, bringing us the best of talent. And this young man that she's connected us with today for the interview, I happen to hear his music. And I'm going to let you guys, you know, say judge for yourself. But, I mean, this song took me to another planet. And I was floored. So, Ms. M, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I think I want to hear this song. You know, so I'll be playing this song and then go to you.
You got to hear this song. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and just watch with your ears because you're into a treat with this song.
And we're going to listen to it. God Has Smiled on Me by Mr. Greg Bott. Coming at you.
Come on with it.
Rescue when I needed a friend, yeah. Oh, get a cup of coffee, I walk around and just think how good the Lord's been to me, yeah. He made a way out of no way, kept my children from danger.
Wow, D Nice. I love that song. You know, my gospel group used to sing that, and it sounded nothing like that.
Well, no, I got it, because this guy, Greg Botch, came on the scene best known as a front man of the world-famous Starlights. And this award-winning vocalist has shared the stage with some of the biggest names in secular and gospel music, whether it be the Soul Festival with James Brown or the Monterey Jazz Festival with the late Teddy Pendergrass and the world-famous Temptations, to being one of the headliners of the McDonald's Gospel Festival, where he shared the stage with such gospel artists as Yolanda Adams, Kirk Franklin, and the Mighty Clouds of Joy. And this ladies and gentlemen, gifted young man is here with us on the phone today, Mr. Greg Botch. Welcome. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, D Nice. How are you?
Man, you know what, man? You got me like beaming, man. I got to tell you something. I like my music, but I like that stuff that just kind of like takes me to that next level, right? So when I'm listening this jam, when Dorian sent it over to me, I'm listening to it from all aspects of it. And I'm like, wow, I hear some Manhattans out here, some Isley guys. I mean, this is old school. You know, I know youngster no more.
Right.
Now, see, we used to listen to that smooth jams and all that stuff, right, that put you in the right spot. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
now, I'm hearing
right,
this from the gospel. That's what we used to talk to the ladies at this. I'm saying, now, this is somebody who's having a love affair with God. And that
right, exactly.
is such a rarity, man. I mean, you know, you hear people saying about it and trying to talk it up, but you can see there's a difference in what they say and, like I said earlier, how they walk. But, man, the way you sang this song, I'm like, man, you were feeling it. You were in it. So that got me. So I started listening to words, and you know, you just gave me another dimension with this song, man. So let's take a short minute, man, and just let's digress for a minute. Now, we talk about the journeys here. So let's go back for a ways in this preparatory stage that God had you coming through, and just walk us from, you know, your early stage, and let's walk our way forward. So, ladies and gentlemen around the world and back, help me welcome to the stage Mr. Greg Botch. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. It's a blessing, you know, to be on with you today, man. It's just awesome. You know, every time I hear the song myself, I get excited because it was done from the bottom of my heart, a song that I learned as a child. And, you know, we've been around for a long time. I'm the lead singer of the Starlights, been singing with the Starlights now for 32 years. I started out with the group when I was 15, and I don't know if you know, but the Starlights consist of me and my brother and three nephews, and we all born and raised from the city of Compton. Our dad sung with the late great Sam Cooke, Lou Rawls. He was in a group called the Pilgrim Travelers, which is a name that some of our older Christians may remember. They were world renowned as well, and so this is how I got my start, and we went on to record with Fortress Records. Been on the same label with Yolanda Adams and some of the greats. And like you said, we've, you know, you name it, we just about have been with everybody. And it's almost like we're the best kept secret, maybe in gospel and from the city of Compton.
Man, you know, I'm baffled, but like I said, music is in your blood. That's in your DNA. But
right.
when you take somebody and you hear them take a song and just, I mean, I've heard that song before, but I've never heard it like this. You know what I'm saying?
All the stuff you said, you know, you were on the right track, because the actual producer of the song was the lead singer for Lakeside. He was one of the lead singers for Lakeside. God rest his soul. He passed away. His name was Tavier, and he produced it. And then Edel Shepherd, which is one of the greatest musicians I've heard, keyboardist. Actually, he plays for my home church here in Fairmont, California. But he's worked. He was part of Barry White's band at one time. He was Red Fox's main guy whenever he did the Broadville show and stuff like that. And we just connected, and that's how we came up with the idea. to kind of smoothing it out. And then I've always been a big fan of music. Ronald Isley is one of my mentors, which you, I guess you hear that flavor in there. But I've been fortunate, I've been fortunate to work with everyone. And it's just been a blessing.
Right. And then, like I said, they appreciate you from what the, I used to say, from the outhouse to the White House. Because I see that you got some presidential accommodations from Barack Obama, letter from Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, man, you've been doing the Grand Marshal of the Compton Christmas Parade. I mean, they're loving you from all aspects.
Yeah, it's just been awesome, man. You know, being that you're a family, you know, we're a family from Compton. My father raised us well. I'm the youngest of 12. I have nine sisters and two brothers. And, you know, that's an unheard of story coming from Compton. We've never been to jail. These hands have never seen handcuffs. And and so, you know, we have, you know, my kudos to my mom and dad being married 50 years. And we just, you know, it, our story really is kind of an unusual story coming from Compton. We've been able to, not only Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have honored us, but we were over in Europe when Princess Diana passed away and we were on tour and we were able to sing at the memorial. They had a big memorial of flowers and everything at the tunnel. And we were invited over to sing. And so we sung at the tunnel. And there's an album that we have out, the Starlights Live at West Angeles Church of God in Christ. There's a song on there that's Gone the Last Mile of the Way. And we dedicated it to her. And we actually sung the song kind of unplugged with acoustic guitar. And I mean, we, you know, our story go on and on. And the president of Belgium recognized us. He gave us a trophy that was only given to Michael Jackson. And maybe one or two more at that time. This, you know, so we've been really blessed. And like I said, we fly under the radar. James Brown took us on tour with him, said we were one of the best opening acts that he ever had. We're the only gospel act to ever play the Monterey Jazz Festival and Blues Festival. And you know, that's one of the biggest festivals in the world, but we're the only gospel act to play the main stage. And so, you know, we've done some incredible things throughout our 32 years career. Man, if you, I mean, you know, Ollie Woodson of the Temptations, we were on tour with them. We played Catalina Island Jazz Festival, and about 2 weeks later, he passed away, and we were able to work with him. So we just been, we've had a blessed career. Luther Vandross, the list go on and on. We played Luther Vandross' Christmas party for Luther, and I'm like, okay, Luther, why are we doing the singing? But we played Luther, we played Luther Vandross' Christmas party here in Beverly Hills. When he was here on Earth, and Stevie Wonder's 50th birthday party, he invited us, and we did entertainment for Stevie Wonder's 50th birthday party. And so, I mean, I can go on and on and on about some of the things God has blessed us to do. I know you heard of the world famous House of Blues. We were the first gospel act to ever. We were the first gospel act to ever hit that stage in Hollywood, and we started their gospel brunch. We did over 300 shows in Hollywood alone. And then the owner at the time, he owned the House of Blues and the Hard Rock Cafes. He took us all over the United States to open up every House of Blues. As they would open them up, we would go in and start the brunch for like two or three weeks before they would find local talent in that city. And so we just have a blessed career, man. You know, you know, the list go on and on.
Yeah, but if you listen to the music, you could be under any influence of genre, and it just sucks you in. That's what I'm saying, the reality of it, of the music, that it just touches you. It soothes the savage beast, so to speak. And so if somebody were to listen to this and not know what the genre was, they would not, first thing out of their mouth, they would not say it's gospel. But then the music and the lyrics are so... smooth with it. I mean, you know, because you hear people do the lyrics. I mean, that's all good. But when you hear the music with it too, it's like, man, you guys are just, you can't really pigeonhole you. And that's a good thing. When you are that talented in music, to where you could take a song and people can't pigeonhole you, say, well, this is this genre, this is this, then you can cross all lines. And, you know, people just like good music nowadays. That's what we want. We want some good music.
Right.
And so that's that music that you're talking about right now that'll just, it's timeless.
Me and my group perform, you know, we've had that problem for a long time, even with record companies, because they didn't know how to place us. The first thing came to their mind is that they wanted us to be a quartet group, or they wanted us to do this, or they wanted us to do that. And if you hear our records, if you go back to every record that the Starlights have ever recorded, we cross all lines. I mean, this is why we've been able to work with everybody, because you really can't place us in a box. You know, we can be with Kurt Franklin and fit right in, or we could be with the Mighty Clouds of Joy and fit right in. We went, like I said, with Luther Vandross, and we fit right in. You know, we have different arrangements and different genres of the way God has blessed us to write and perform, to where, you know, no matter where we are, we fit right in. So it's just been a blessing for us to be able to do that. We've sung to all German audience, all Japanese audience, and just, you know, many things. I mean, it's just, you know, I kind of, you know, shocked myself talking about it, because the more interviews that I do over the years, you know, I think of things that we've done over the years, and it kind of blows me away, you know, because we've been able to fit in with so different groups. You know, sometimes we've been the only gospel act on a show where you have the Beach Boys, and say you might have Garth Brooks. We were up in Seattle, and they have a thing called the Bumper Shoot Festival. It's one of the biggest festivals in the world, and they put us between, of all people, we came on stage between Sir Mix-a-Lot and Garth Brooks, and we were in the middle.
Wow.
And they feature all genres. Yeah, they feature all genres of music, so we had to come in the middle, and lo and behold, God bless, we sold so many records till we just ran out, and we bought like a trailer full of records, because you have to have your records sent in advance, because there's thousands of people, and we just didn't have enough. So, you know, God is just awesome, you know, with the things that he's done in our lives.
And you've done some television too. I mean, God was in the preparatory stage with you all around, huh?
Oh yeah, we've done TV, we've done movies. There's a movie called Beverly Hood. I don't know if it's an old movie called Beverly Hood, which, when Destiny's Child was four girls, it was featuring the Starlights. We did, that was a church scene with Andre Crouch, and I can't think of the comedian's name, but the comedian and Andre Crouch plays the preacher, and then when they said we're going to have a song by the choir was actually the Starlights, and we did This Little Light of Mine, and we did some standards in the movie, and then Destiny's Child was in the movie, and that was back when it was four girls at the beginning of their career. So we've done so much, man, in TV, been on all, you know, the morning news shows, Good Morning America, things like that. You know, we've done it all. Yeah, we've done it all.
And still doing it. I see that you've got a new one that you guys are under your own record label now, correct? Are you in the entertainment?
Yeah, well, you know, as we learned,
that doing?
Yeah, as we learned the business, we decided to start our own record label and our own publishing company. The publishing company is Jay's Kids Publishing, which is my dad's middle initial, Jay. And then the record company is HB Records, which is my dad's first initial and last initial. His name was Henry Botts. And so we named the label after him. And, you know, God has blessed us to have other artists, Rhea Mosley, Reverend Minister Steve Bailey, Andrea Coleman, and Carlotta Dunn, which is my sister. We've actually went back and recorded them. And then I have a gospel jazz artist, which I would love for you to hear. His name is KJ. And so, you know, we just been blessed to learn the business, and, you know, we've learned by trial and error, some of it, you know, but now we own ourselves, and that's a blessing to come from Compton and can say that we came out of Compton schools and this, that, and the other, and we own ourselves. We even have our own booking agency called TSL Entertainment. And so, God has just been good to us, you know, and, we've learned from some of the best, you know?
Right. And I love it, because, see, this is all preparatory for where you're at now. The favor God has shown you, to where you were able to pick up your knowledge, to where now you stand here as a dynasty, so to speak, now. You know what I'm saying? A light in the wilderness, and saying, you know, can anything good come out of Compton? I mean, you know, we got these rappers and all this other stuff, but, I mean, can anything really good come out of Compton? Yes, we can say, yes, I met somebody. Here you are. And that's that's a blessing, man, to hear this coming
in. And you said rappers, not to cut you off, but you said rappers being from Compton. Snoop Dogg's mother is a big fan of ours. She's attended many of our concerts. When we come back to Compton and do concerts, she's right there. She's a minister as well. So, you know, that connection, you know, that connection, man, it's just awesome.
Yeah, so like I said, it may bring him into the fold because, see, you're a minister too.
I just started preaching. I preached my first sermon August the 7th, and the title of the sermon was Knock It Off. I came from John 20:24, talking about doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas doubted everything, and when Jesus returned from the grave and went back to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there where he should have been. And reason I titled it Knock It Off, because you have many Christians that have been in church for years and years, and we still don't trust God. We're still doubting God. And, you know, God has been too good, you know, for us to doubt, you know, and it's impossible to please God without faith. So, you know, that's what I'm saying when I say knock it off. It's time out to play church. You know, it's time to really believe what we believe. You know, we really have to hang on to what we have. You know, everybody's worried about this election coming up, but God is still God. He's still going to make a way out of no way. He's still going to be healing the sick. He's still going to be giving sight to the blind, and all of our needs are going to be met. So we have to learn to trust God. And if, you know, if you're like me and been knowing God since you was a kid, knock it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Straighten up and fly right. Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Knock it off.
We know. We know the difference. I mean, the truth will set you free. You know, so, you know, this is, man, you have just given me a whole different approach on things, because I'm just thinking now that the ones that are old school are staying in the lane and doing their thing, and the ones that are new school are trying to find their way through, and everybody's muddling and nothing's crossing lines. But it shows me, man, that, you know what I'm saying, there are people out there that are just putting in the work. Been putting in the work and still haven't missed a day of putting in the work, because, you know, God be with you, who can be against you? You know what I'm saying? And
right,
I appreciate this freshness I hear in your voice, my man, and you're feeling your spirit.
And, you know, one of the key things is we have to be true to ourselves, no matter what your genre is, whether it be hip hop gospel, smooth jazz gospel, quartet gospel, whatever it is, be true to who God made you, because when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, it's about saving souls. And if we save souls, God is going to open up those doors, you know, and he opened doors that no man can close. I mean, there was times where we were told that from major record companies that, well, if you take Jesus out the song, we'll sign you guys. And we said, no, you know, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So we learned the business for ourselves, and we started our own record company. And like I said, we've been all over the world. You name about 20 different countries, every state in the United States, God knows how many times we've done it, you know, and we defined all odds with our career. You know, if you like I said, and the reason some people may not know of us, and the reason we fly under the radar, because it's not about so much as a limelight. It's about just doing the work, you know, and we have a thing that we have a scripture that we always quote before we go on any stage. And it's, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for when night cometh, no man can work. And that's like our motto. We never hit stage without saying that, to remind ourselves that it's not about fame. You know, it's about God.
Right.
You know, it's about God. And fame is going to come, you know, all the accolades that you want to. You know, that stuff is going to come. Just to throw this out there to you, just recently I filled in for Joe Lagun of the Mighty Clouds of Joy. He taken sick, and you're talking about a three-time Grammy Award winner, and the group called me up and asked me, can I fill in? And I was able to do, I mean, you know, I got on stage and channeled Joe Lagun's spirit, man, and we went to work, you know? And he was, Joe Lagun was my Michael Jackson. When I was growing up, that was nothing bigger than Joe Lagun to me. And
right.
So, to have that honor and watch my career, you know, go full circle like that. And now me and we're the best of friends. When he come to town, we hang out, we talk, we have dinner. And what I'm saying, you know, God can give you the very desires of your heart, providing that we live right and just do what he asks us to do and keep things first.
But there's no doubt. But like I said, I heard you. I heard that the guy in you when you were singing. I'm like, what? You know, there's so many. You know, so that is what drove you and keeps you focused. That knowledge that God has ordained you for this time and this place for this season. But you've been through a lot of seasons, you know what I'm saying? And now you're telling everybody out there listening in a voice, no matter what you're doing, you put God first. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to open the doors and lead you to the desires of your heart. And that's what they're failing to see, because they're looking for something that's of quick gratification, quick money, quick this, quick that. But there's no quick time in him, because time is his. A day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. So who owns time? That's God's work. So, you know what I'm saying? When he leads you and guides you in his direction. Yes, sir.
Let me share this with you. Just exactly what you're talking about. I got a phone call from, I believe it was South Carolina or Florida. Young man said, hey, Dorian Edwards is in the hospital. Did you know? I said, no, I didn't know she was in the hospital. He said, well, can you check on her for me? He's a good friend. And so I said, no problem. I said, now that you called, I'm going to go and have prayer with her. I go to the hospital just doing my ministerial duty, and I have prayer with Dorian last week, and here I am doing an interview with you. So if you just do what God say do, doors are open. And so, I didn't go for an interview. I went to have prayer with Dorian, and lo and behold, Dorian is doing well, and here I am on the radio. So it's a win-win situation.
And God is not finished yet, because, like I said, you are now in my Rolodex. And we do, not only do we do a weekly show on Sundays, but we do, me and First Lady Deidre, who's online with us, we do a television show weekly live.
Wow,
and we are,
wow.
It is every Wednesday, and it's Wednesday evening, so we go on at 5:30 live to the nation. So I'm just saying, we're inviting you to come in and talk to the public on our Wednesday live television show.
I would love to. I would love to.
See how God connects the dots? Man, you and my Rolodex, man, because I'm feeling your spirit. It's just like that exuberance that you're, you know, coming with. And, you know, and being all the directions that you've been in music and still being true. That's the thing. You've been true. You said, no. You want us to take out God, Jesus out of our songs, and we can make it to fame and glory, sell ourselves? And you said, no. But yet, and still, you were still able to rise, because God had you in his hands. You be faithful to him, you lift him up, and he'll draw all men unto him, because it's all about kingdom building right now, right? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I don't care what they try to say. And if people, see, I tell people, I'm not for everybody, and everybody's not for me. And I learned
that.
So you can't be out there trying to be everybody's friend. I'm scared of people who wants to be everybody's friend, because, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You can't.
Well,
you know, so you got different spirits out there.
And I got a saying that when you're everybody's friend, you're nobody's friend.
Wait.
The Bible tells us you got to be hot or cold. There is no in between. Lukewarm is good for nothing. He said he'll spew us out of his mouth. So it's the same, you know, so you can't be everybody's friend. Something wrong with that picture. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, that's just the way it is. So, but I'm telling you, man, I got so much that I could think, that I could talk to you about. And like I said, I know it would be incredible to you, you know, knowing some of the things that God has sent us through as a group over our career, man. It's just been incredible. Just been incredible.
Well, let me put this on your spirit right quick. We just finished up with A Taste of Soul over this past weekend, you know what I'm saying? And that's when they closed down Crenshaw Boulevard, you know, 400,000 people this year, right? And I always do the backstage stuff for the Wave and, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. So 2 years ago, we were blessed dealing with Brenda, and Brenda Marsh Mitchell was always Danny's right hand. So we got to know each other when I was out there working with the camps, Parks Camp, right? And we've staying very close. So one day we were getting ready for the Taste of Soul a couple of years ago, and I was with this worldwide speaking group called Toastmasters, right? And so we went in to get a booth out there. So I went to see Brenda, sat down with her, and she says, well, you guys come from booth? She said, but Dee, I need something. She said, I need a sound system for the children's stage. And I said, no problem. She said, but we don't have no money. We don't have a budget. I said, oh, well, okay, Brenda, I got you on that. Don't even worry about it. She said, and then you know what? Come to think of it, we need one for the gospel stage, and we still ain't got more budget. Can you help me out? I said, yeah, you know, Brenda, don't even worry about it. I'm thinking of my line myself. I'm like, wow, everybody's coming with these. So by the time she turns around the next breath, she said, you know what? Me and Danny were talking, and Danny realized that in this all 7 years that we've never had reggae as a part of this thing, and he's kind of like wondering if he could do reggae. She said, how would you like
like to have the reggae stage. And I'm thinking, and I'm looking at this guy that came in with me, and all the stages started like 50,000 and up, right? So I'm knowing, yeah, this is a joke, right? So I said, well, Brenda, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I know it was a challenge because there's no reggae stations out in L.A., so I didn't have nobody really to turn to. So I said, but this is worth this. I said, well, Brenda, how much you talking about? And she said, well, for a few dollars more than you were going to pay for this booth. And I said, really? And I asked her for the figure. When she gave me the figure, me and old boy almost broke our heads, to bumped each other's head trying to get to our wallet to pay for it, right? So that was the first year our company, Woman of Promise, was able to come in and bring in the reggae. So me and my business partner, Ms. M, we went down to Lemuria Park, and one Sunday when they had the drum circles down there, so I have to see a couple of brothers posted against the wall with the dreads or whatever. I said, brothers, excuse me, but I'm not trying to be pretentious or nothing here, but, you know, we got this opportunity to have Safe for Soul, and we're, you know, we got all these people that are be under one roof, and but we don't have any money, but do you know where we can get some acts? He said, well, give me a business card. And within 24 hours, he called me back with 10 groups. So then the next day he gave me another 10. So we had 20 groups on the stage performing for us. And so Danny was so impressed. No problems, no weed smoking, no arrest or whatever. So I saw him on stage this time. I said, you know what, Danny? I said, next year I'm starting now. We're going to get some sponsorship together. We're going to have a booth that day. He said, come see me.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. Awesome. So now that you're in my database, we may be sitting down having lunch and talking about a few things to come.
Well, you know, I was with Danny Bakewell in Compton. They opened a brand new Smart and Final in the city of Compton not too long ago. Mm. And what's funny, they hired my group to be the entertainment. And so,
that's what I'm talking about.
It was like a private party, and Danny Bakewell was there. And actually, he asked me to send him a packet, and I did, to his sister or something. So, but when you mentioned Taste of Soul, we did one of the first ones. We were one of the first acts to even do Taste of Soul when it was just getting started for KGLH and radio station and everything. So, I mean, it's just been, you know, our like I said, you know, when I hear you say certain things, it's like we've done it all. You know, we've done a lot, man.
Yeah.
You know, God has just been awesome.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. So, like I said, I got you in my Rolodex now, brother. So, we gonna do this. We gonna talk about this because I want to really follow this career. And anytime you got something going on, you need our station managers. Our house is your house now.
I appreciate it. And just so you know, we went back and redid "It's All Right." Remember the song by The Impressions, "It's All Right to Have a Good Time"?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We just released it. Yeah, we just released it, and it's a new single on the Starlights. It's All Right to Have a Good Time. You got to hear it. It's a gospel version of it. You can get it on iTunes or wherever you buy your gospel music downloads and everything. But look for the Starlights. It's All Right to Have a Good Time.
Okay, and like I said, we sit down, and you're going to let me know all you're doing, and we're just going to start putting some stuff in rotation. We got you, brother.
All right, D-Nice, thank you so much for your time, and just want to give a shout out to Dorian Edwards, my girl. We go back.
Yes.
We go back over 20 years, and I'm praying for her healing. I know she's going to make a full recovery. She does so much to help so many.
Yes,
and
she does.
I just appreciate her. She's just awesome. We've been friends for God knows how long. You know, been friends for a long time, and she do a lot of great work.
Man, it's great because, like I said, I remember her when she was down there with New Life Gospel Records. I pulled her out of there and took her to the Hollywood when we were when we were doing the gospel brunches up there in Hollywood Park.
Wow, that's
and
long
so we go.
Time
we,
I remember that.
Look here, we like peanut butter bread. I had the video department up there, so you know what I'm saying. My group, a Woman of Promise. So we had kindred spirits, man. So let's keep on this track. What we need to do now, man, is if you want somebody to know how to reach you, man, give us some information on how somebody can reach out to you.
You can reach us at TSL Entertainment. The phone number is 562-572-4408. That's T as in Tom, L as in Larry, S as in Sam, TSL Entertainment. And also you can email us at thestarlights1@verizon.net. Thestarlights1@verizon.net.
I appreciate you, brother. We're going to keep it line offline. We're going to talk about Wednesday's television show, too. So thanks for being there, and we appreciate it. And listeners out there, thanks for listening. I'd like to once again thank Ms. Tracy Kimbrough for coming on for the Cancel Society and talking about her journey. We'd like to thank First Lady Deidre Haddad for being there with us. We'd like to thank Dwayne Edwards, Lady D, for bringing on Greg and doing what she does. And we'd also like to thank Greg and the Starlights for sharing that new one with us. So this is D-Nice, and from Miss M and D-Nice saying, join us each and every week here. And like I say, each and every week, put God first and everything else will follow. I guarantee it. We'll see you next week on the Gospel Jazz Connection. Take it away, Miss M.